First Baptist Church of Redmond, December 15th, 2019. Luke chapter 2. There has been born for you a Savior.
Good morning. Would you all please rise? And we will be reading Luke chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very simply, Luke chapter 2, where else can you go to see so much about the birth of Christ? There has been born for you a Savior. Very simply, now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Like any other politician, things move slowly. Caesar Augustus ordered this census around 8 BC, but it didn't happen right away. It seems to have taken a few years, and I'm going to tell you, I couldn't tell you when Christ was born for sure, for certain. It seems that he was born between this number and very likely 1 BC. If I had to guess, I'd say somewhere around 3 or 4 BC. Herod delayed this census because he was having problems with his people who followed him. Just like any politician, there's issues as far as who's doing what, when, where, why, all these kinds of things. And so somewhere, but it's before what we would look at as zero, somewhere before there, Christ was born. This census seems to have begun around 5 BC. Some of the things I'm going to say today, I'm giving my best guess. So that's why I'm hesitant, but this is my best guess. It seems that this began around 5 BC, but again, no internet, no mail. So it took a while to conduct this and finished it. What did they do? People registered by household. If you remember, I think it was a year or two ago, I was able to show you, because I joined one of those research places for a little while, a photocopy of the census of my parents and our family from about 1930 that had my dad and his siblings listed under their father. And just like you're glad that we don't use the word Welkin very much, my dad's dad name was Rensel. And believe it or not, that was a traditional Johnston male name, W-R-E-N-S-I-L, Rensel. Aren't you glad we decided to give distinctive names to all of you? Rensel Johnston just to me doesn't have that ring to it. This kind of census, kind of taxation, I put this up here. Egypt did the same thing in 104 A.D. They wanted to tax their people. So to tax, you have to know who's alive. And so they took a census in around 104. And again, they did it by household. Here's the dad, here's the family. Here's the dad, here's the family. People who live together. And imagine, sometimes people will say, you know, when are you going to have that baby? How long have you been pregnant? And they'll say, well, you know, take her on a bumpy car ride or make her do something. Well, a 90-mile trip on a donkey while you're pregnant. It seems Jesus was delivered almost as soon as they arrived in Bethlehem. Any wonder? 90-mile trip on a donkey. That would do it for sure. When did this birth occur? The Bible used phrases in the fullness of time. In other words, when God had a plan. If you look in the Old Testament, you look a little bit at this in Sunday school, there are many, many prophecies about the birth of Christ. Where he would be born, how he would be criticized, if you will, how he would travel, how he would be recognized, what would his life's purpose be. The Old Testament speaks about so many of these things. Jesus was born in Bethlehem where it was needed. Why a house in the lineage of David? When it was needed, because God has a plan. God had a prophetic plan for the birth of Christ. From the beginning of the reconstruction of the walls of Jerusalem until the birth of Christ, it was prophesied how long that would take, 483 prophetic years. And it was a natural birth. They didn't turn over and all of a sudden, poof, a baby came down from heaven. That's not how it worked. The Bible tells us that when Jesus was born, he was like any other child. There's some, and I will say, silly legends about the birth of Christ as a child. The one that is most popular is that when Jesus was maybe, you know, Hayden's age, Garrett's age, he was invited to a friend's house for a party. And there were gifts being given. And Jesus took a bunch of clay, made a model of a bird, raised his hand, and the bird came alive and flew away. Well, I don't think that happens. Part of the reason is when Jesus turned the water into wine, the Bible clearly says that was his first miraculous activity. So a lot of fiction, a lot of things. Stories sell books. And so I'm sure the guy who wrote that up made some money off of that. What did they do? They had pieces of cloth. And with swaddling clothes are just strips of cloth. Wrap him up like a mummy. Why did they do that? What was the custom? Traditionally, children have been very, very receptive to illness. And particularly, you know, 2,000 years ago, there were antibiotics. There was some salve and some generally things to do. But children were very, very receptive to disease. So when a child was first born, it was given a very light coating of salt, you know, because salt has a disinfectant and preservative property. And then they would wrap the child in the cloth to keep the salt there and to try and keep things away. So his parents loved him, cared for him, and did the best they could. They did what everybody else did. They did the custom of the era to try and keep Jesus from getting sick. Manger. Jewish travelers to the census because you had to go to your hometown. For me, I would have to pack up and go to Denver where I was born. From the house and lineage of David, Bethlehem, that was David's town. Joseph and Mary were both biologically connected to David. And so normally, travelers, because there's no Motel 6, there's no RV parks, normally travelers stayed with their relatives. But remember the situation of Mary and Joseph. Mary got pregnant without being with Joseph. They were not married. And so that was a significant point of conflict in the family, particularly in a, I'm sure Jesus' family was an Orthodox Jewish family. And so they would not have wanted them to stay because of the reputation. Remember, Joseph, when he first heard this, wanted to give her an opportunity to break their marriage contract. And he's seen as a just man because it was within his rights to have her once she determined to be pregnant and it was not his child. Because they were engaged, he had the opportunity to have her stoned to death. But because he was a good man, he did not want to cause that to happen. Jews avoided contact with non-Jews as much as possible, especially Roman census takers. So people were very, very concerned who stayed with them. But this is why there was no room. And so they went to the place where the non-Jews, who even though they had a connection with Bethlehem, may not have been practicing. There would have been Roman officials there to conduct this census. And so the inn was anybody can come. No room, very likely. It was filled with Romans. The word manger that you see here in your Bible only occurs four times in all the New Testament. They're all in Luke, three times in this chapter. And again, we talked about this a little bit in our Sunday school hour. Where was Jesus born? Some will say it's in a cave. Some it's in a building. You know what? I don't know. The Bible isn't as specific as you would like to think it would be. But what we know about this term is this was a place where animals were kept that were either possessed by the owner of the inn, like he might have animals for milk or meat, or by people who were staying there. If you came on a donkey like they were, it would have been tied up and kept in there. If you had a horse, it would have been in there. If you had a little chariot, it would have parked around in there. So we know that Jesus was born near animals. Who knows? Traditionally, this has been seen as a cave. Is that right? I don't know. I can't figure that one out, but it's not a nice place. Now, while this was happening, the Bible tells us that, normally when people have a baby or adopt, they are very excited and tell everybody. A family that we met here, they used to go to Antioch, the Hurley family. He's blessed us before. He had a mobile car repair place. He would drive here, fix our car, fix other people's cars. Barbara's brother-in-law needed a timing belt. He drove out here and put a timing belt on his car. They've eventually moved to Spokane, where they have been able to drive over here and adopt a newborn child. Good for them. Can't have children alone, so they've been able to adopt one right out of the hospital and had no problems with that. But there's all kinds of pictures. Here we are with our new baby, all kinds of kissing pictures and bottle pictures and little thing pictures. And most of them, the baby has its eyes shut because it's asleep. Why? Because it's hard being born, I guess, right? I mean, imagine if someone's born, they're yelling, they're screaming, then they sleep all the time. So it must be traumatic to be born. I was born, they tell me. I don't remember a thing, so I guess I believe it. But just as people announce the birth, God the Father, His Son was born. So the first ones who heard the proclamation of the Messiah's birth, who's up at night? It seemed to be a nighttime birth, don't know when. The first ones who heard the proclamation of the Messiah's birth were shepherds. Why? Because people like to poach sheep and wolves and other creatures. They're nocturnal. They go out because they like a little bit of mutton for breakfast. And so the shepherds were with their animals, keep their animals safe, watch over them, tend them, and make sure nothing goes wrong. Very likely, people tended to do this not only by family, but also just the shepherds by group would go out. You guys take the first shift, I'll take the second shift. And so they'd get to sleep for a few hours where their friends watched everything else. So very likely, there was just a group of men, might have been some women as well, taking turns guarding their animals at night, keeping them safe again from hungry beasts. Why were they concerned? You know, God made beasts tasty generally, and the beasts think they're tasty as well. When was Jesus born? It's impossible to know for sure, okay? So I want to make sure you hear that from me. It's impossible to know for sure. However, sheep destined for temple sacrifice could be found, could be found in fields anytime. Because Bethlehem's not that far. People would get an animal, take it to the temple for sacrifice. People were allowed to come for registration for their taxes anytime during the year because it was a long process because people would have to get time, travel. So some people might say it took a couple of years for the census to take place. However, I do want to mention this. I've mentioned this before a few years ago, and I want to mention it again now. One of the values of old traditions is that they're old. In other words, people just didn't think of this. I want you to notice, what year is up here? So in other words, not 300 AD, correct? 235 AD. I wanted to mention that because there's people who are blessed with the gift of time and access and resources for study. One of these people was Hippolytus. He lived in Rome. Constantine didn't see that sign in the sky, supposedly, in this sign conquer, until the early 300s. So Hippolytus in 235 AD was a disciple of Polycarp. That's a church history name you should know because Polycarp was a student, a disciple of John the Apostle. So we think that this would have been a person who would have been rooted and grounded in truth, would have understood Bible, because John to Polycarp to Hippolytus. All these guys had a good chunk of years behind them, so even though you have over 100 years in there, it's very likely the three had plenty of time to pass on the chain. Hippolytus wanted to think, when was Jesus born? And so he studied Old Testament, he looked at some comments, and this was what he surmised. Is this in your Bible? No, but this was his historical. As far as you know, this is the first person who took a serious study and wrote this down. He believed that very likely Jesus was conceived during the Passover season. He also believed that the earth was created in the spring, and he had an opinion that the earth was created on March 25th. Was it? I have no idea. But that was his conviction from what he thought, what he believed was the Bible said. So, 9 months after March 25th is when? So this date, December 25th, did not come because of some Roman feast of Saturnus. That was not the reason that this was picked. This was picked because his conviction about Passover, God's mercy for his people, new life, and the creation of the world. This is why he picked December 25th. So the next time somebody tells you Christmas is Jesus was picked because of some pagan festival, right or wrong, they are wrong. This was not why this date was picked by Hippolytus. You know what? No date can be proved or disproved. I've never seen Jesus' driver's license. There's no ancestry.com back for 2,000 years ago. But R.C.H. Lenski, a good writer, while December 25th is only traditional, it is at least traditional. So you know what? Jesus could have been born on Christmas. Jesus could have been born on your birthday too. But you know, we don't know, but this is the reason why December 25th is picked. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. Surprise after surprise. There is a sign that is shown to you. And what is the sign? So it seems to be that only one baby was born that day. How about that? God seems to have worked the schedule so that these people coming and going, poof, only one baby would have had his birth certificate punched for that day. So one swaddled infant in all of Bethlehem was lying in a manger. So these guys then would not be confused. What child are we looking at? What child is this? Where is this child? That's it. The angel of the Lord is telling them. Not until the shepherds had adjusted to the brilliance around them and one angel, did then a host of angels descend into their sight. The angels desired that all creation praise God and notice this birth of this child. This very Jesus, through doing what the Father tells him, will bring peace. This peace is reconciliation. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. When people say, are you in a reconciling church? You can say yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's what God tells us to do. Other reconciliation concepts people talk about, I don't know if all those are from the Bible, but this is what God tells us to do. To reconcile people to God through Christ. For us, God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. That's the message of Christmas. God is going to live among us as a child. And the mercy of God, because Jesus was a perfect child, there's no stories that come out about Jesus. David is the one who prayed and with thoughts that many of us might have, God, please remember not the sins of my youth. Jesus didn't have to pray that. I mean, think of when they went to the temple, which they would have gone every year. Why? Jesus' family would have been an Orthodox Jewish family. They went to the temple when he was 12. And imagine having a child that would always be obedient. I'm sure your children are very close to this. But Mary and Joseph had an oldest son that was perfect. In other words, he did everything he was supposed to do. I can't imagine Jesus punching any of his brothers or taking his sister's dessert. Jesus was a perfect child. So as they left to go back home, as they always did, they were almost a day out of town before they realized, Jesus? Where's Jesus? You know, he knows to come with us. We don't have to remind him. He's not off doing whatever other kids do. They went back for him. And where is he? At the temple where they left him. What is he doing? Don't you understand? I've got to be about my Father's business. So he's respectfully asking questions that were leading questions. Jesus was born in fulfillment and agreement with eternal plans. You can look in the Old Testament. There's lots of hints, lots of things. When was Jesus born? And those Old Testament dates and things match up. Imperfect human beings were and are part of God's plans then and now. Mary and Joseph, were they perfect people? No. Matter of fact, in that section, some of our friends like to quote from the Magnificat. She calls Jesus my Savior. She doesn't call him, I helped him save people. She doesn't say that. She says Jesus was her Savior. So Mary needed a Savior. Joseph needed a Savior. This is God's plan for us, was to provide us a Savior. There shall be born a Savior given to you, Christ the Lord. God bless us all. Help us to come to understand the gift of your Son. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us new life, causes us to receive the gift of repentance, to follow you and to be more like your Son every day. Help us, we pray, to be thankful for the gift of Christ. Help us to be thankful for the awareness of the gospel message. Help us, as we receive gifts from you, to show thanks and to show kindness, gifts, and friendship to others. Help us to honor you with all the things that we do. And bless us as we try and go and show love to others and to reflect a little bit back to you as well this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.